I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. With that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Work on Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. That's DreAllDay.com/audible. Today's show is brought to you by The Mental Handbook, the guidebook to approaching sports and life with a bulletproof mindset. Learn more about The Mental Handbook and get yours at DreAllDay.com/mental. Congratulations on tuning in to the show where you learn the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness of continuing, the mental toughness to continue showing up day after day, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you expected has yet to arrive. And on top of all of that, you're going to get a huge dose of personal initiative. That is the go-getter energy. That go-getter energy that moves you to go make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all of this together. You have the mindset and the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show today. Glad to have you here. Today's topic is, you can watch your pot boil. You ever heard somebody say, a watched pot does not boil? That basically they're trying to tell you, put in the work on something. Stop stressing it. Stop trying to push so hard. Don't micromanage it. You don't have to watch every little detail of it. Just kind of let it go. Let the plant grow, and eventually it's going to do its thing without you standing over top of it watching. I'm here to tell you, I'm giving you a lot of counterintuitive advice on this podcast. I'm going to give you some more here today, which is you need to pay attention to your work. Pay attention to your projects. Pay attention to the objectives that you wish to obtain, whatever those happen to be. You need to pay attention to them 1,000%, because if you're not paying attention, nobody's going to be paying attention, because it's just your objective. I mean, you might have a parent who cares about it. You might have a teacher or a spouse or a family member or a coworker or a best friend who cares about it too, and they want to see you succeed, but eventually they got to watch their own pots. They can't watch yours all the time. This is something that I think of in a few different ways. One of these ways is with new entrepreneurs or seasoned entrepreneurs, if you want to call them that, who are trying to get some more sales to their products. I meet a lot of entrepreneurs who have created a product or are offering a service, and they say, well, listen, I have this product available. I have this service available, but people aren't buying. Nobody's really signing up for my stuff. Nobody's coming to my website. I gave away all these free samples, but nobody came back to actually buy some. And the challenge for them is making sales. But the challenge really is, have you not persisted to go make those sales? You're waiting for someone else. If you notice the verbiage of what they're saying, nobody came back. They're talking about what other people did do or what other people didn't do. They're not watching their pot. They're waiting for the pot. You got to watch the pot to make sure it's boiling. If it's not boiling, then you got to turn the heat up so that that pot starts boiling. I had an athlete reach out to me today, I believe. Was it today? It was today. In a direct message on Instagram, and he said, hey, I'm trying to play professional basketball. That's my goal, to play pro basketball. He mentioned that one of his parents was doing some research to find out what he needed to do. And the first thing I said back to him was, listen, it's not your parents' job. If you want to play pro basketball, what the hell your parents got to do with it? If your parents are out there doing all the research for you, then I don't take you seriously. That wouldn't even be a person that I talk to. They're not watching the pot. They're hoping that their mom or dad is going to make sure the pot boils. Listen, it's not mom or dad's job to make your pot boil. It's not your customer's job. It's not your listener's job or your follower's job or your boss's job or your secretary's job or your best friends or your dogs or anybody else's job to make sure your pot is boiling. It's your job to make sure it's boiling. And if you're watching it, you can be sure that it boils. And if it's not boiling, even while you're watching it, then it's your job to heat it up and make something happen. That's what we're talking about in today's episode. Point number one, in many ways, micromanaging is a good thing. See, people like to use micromanaging as a negative thing. Like, this curse is a micromanager. They're always watching all over top of me. I can't even do my work. I feel stressed out because I feel like he or she is breathing down my neck, always micromanaging me. Man, you just got to let me go. Give me some space so I can do my job. I feel too much stress, too much anxiety here. You ever hear people talk about being micromanaged as if it's a negative thing? You ever hear someone talk about being micromanaged as a positive thing? I don't think I've heard too many. Well, today we're not talking about a person micromanaging you or you micromanaging a person. We're talking about you micromanaging your success, your goals, and your outcome. Definition of micromanage means to control every part, however small, of an enterprise or activity or situation. Let me say that definition again, because this is a very good definition. Micromanage means to control every part, however small, of an enterprise, activity, or situation. Now, how does that sound for you? I mean, you think about where you want to go in life. Just think about one goal that you have right now. All right, your goal could be to get home so you can get something to eat because you're hungry. Your goal could be to get out of the traffic jam that you're in right now. Your goal could be get through this workout because you hate going to the gym, but you know you need to do it so you can live longer. Your goal may be to make it to the NBA. Your goal may be to start your own business. Your goal may be to get this job that you're about to go to an interview for right now. Wouldn't it be great if you could control every part, however small, of the situation that you're in right now? Wouldn't that be excellent? That'd be an excellent thing, right? So micromanaging, when it comes to other people, I don't think any of us would really enjoy being micromanaged, because it's kind of like a person is so over top of us as if they don't trust us to have any common sense or any training to do what we need to do the right way. And I don't think anyone would enjoy being micromanaged by any of us, because they're going to feel the exact same way we would feel if someone was breathing down our neck, if we're the ones breathing down somebody else's neck. But when it comes to our own outcomes, something that we want to do for ourselves, when it comes to our own personal growth, doesn't this sound like a really good thing that you will want to do, to control every part of your situation, no matter how small, no matter how tiny the detail is? Wouldn't it be great if you had control over every single element of it? That'd be excellent, at least as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you think differently, listen, let me know. Hit me on social media, send me an email. Tell me why you wouldn't want to have complete control over every single part, even the tiny stuff, of your situation when it comes to where you're headed in life. I'm talking about the big places that you're headed, the most important things that you want to achieve in your life. Micromanaging is a good thing. When you have made a decision on a plan of action, people, you decided this is the outcome that I'm going to achieve. This is where I'm going. Listen, you don't have anything else to pay attention to anyway. What else you got to look at? And when you make a decision, we talked about decision a few days ago, means the root word is incision, meaning to cut off any other possibility. So if you cut off every possibility but one, you don't have anything else to look at but that pot, but to let that pot boil and completely micromanage it, because there's nothing else around for you to pay attention to. You have cut everything else off already. Doesn't that just make sense? You better be micromanaging once you've made a decision. Once you made a decision, listen, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. This is the person who I'm going to become. This is what we're going to achieve here this quarter in our business. This is what I'm going to do in my sport this season. These are the grades that I'm going to achieve in school. Once you have made that decision, you better be micromanaging it. I mean, what else do you got to be looking at? If you're looking at something else, then you haven't really made a decision, because the decision cuts off anything else for you to possibly look at. So when you find yourself, if you call yourself having made a decision, but then you find yourself looking at things other than the thing you need to be micromanaging, you need to go back and re-examine if you've actually made a decision. And I'll help you out. You haven't. Point number two, today's topic again is you better be watching your pot boil. Better, you better micromanage and pay attention to your stuff 1,000%. Not 100%, but 1,000%. Point number two. People like to say that a watched pot doesn't boil. I talked about this a few minutes ago. You know why people say that? Why do people say that a watched pot doesn't boil? What does somebody gain from, not just from saying it, but when someone believes that watching their own pot is not going to make it boil? What does that actually do for a person? Why? What benefit does a person get from actually believing I should not micromanage my situations? I should not micromanage anything that's important to me. You know what that does to people? It saves them from the complete 100% commitment of going all in and betting on themselves. See, that's where that statement comes from. People say a watch pot doesn't boil. because they're trying to relieve themselves of the responsibility, which may also to them seem a risk, which may also to them induce anxiety and stress and fear of knowing that they have to go all in on this decision, meaning no other options, and they have to make it work. A lot of people don't want to deal with it. See, decision, cutting off every other option and leaving yourself but one way out in order to get done what you need to get done. Some people look at that. Myself, I look at a situation like that. That's exciting to me. That's an invigorating situation. It is exciting to me to know that I don't need to worry about this, all these other moving parts and things going on. All I got to focus on is just this one, and there's nothing else I got to focus on. Oh, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to do this thing at an amazing level because I know I could put all of my resources into this one thing. I don't have to concern myself with anything else. All I got to do is watch this pot. Oh, this pot's going to boil like crazy. That's the way that I look at it, but not everybody looks at it that way. Some people look at the same situation as, wait a minute, that's the only option I have? Well, how do I know it's going to work? What if it comes up short? I've never seen anybody do this before. Well, somebody needs to help me out. I don't know what to do. Can somebody please give me some advice? I need to have some idea that this is going to work out at all, because I don't want to waste my time doing something that's not going to produce a result. I feel like I'm stuck right now. You ever hear anybody use any of these phrases? Have you ever used any of these phrases? Are you thinking about these at this exact moment, about something that's going on in your life, when you consider micromanaging something because you cut yourself off from any other possibility and you made a decision that this is the one thing that you're going to do? It's not easy. It's not fun at all times. It's not always fun when you're micromanaging something, especially when a pot seems to not be getting any warmer than it was 10 minutes ago or 10 weeks ago or 10 months ago when you started boiling it or thought you were starting to boil it. That's not fun all the time. So this is where this statement comes from, that a watch pot doesn't boil, is that people are afraid of going all in. People are afraid of betting on themselves. And we're not talking about going all in on somebody else's stuff. We're talking about going all in on you. You're betting on yourself. You're not going to bet on you. Who are you going to bet on? See, this is where plan B thinking comes in. When someone says a watch pot doesn't boil, so you're going to start that pot over there and maybe something will happen to it, but you're not going to pay any attention to it. You're not going to put all your effort or put too many of your resources in there because you don't want to lose everything if it comes up short. Now, how successful do you think that plan is going to be? I mean, really, how successful is a plan going to be if you're going to put some resources into it, but not too much? You're not going to go all in on it. You're not going to commit to it. You don't want to just sell out to that one because you don't want to look dumb if things come up short. How far do you think that is going to get you? Probably not too far. Okay, and this is why plan A's don't work for a lot of people, and this is where they get, oh, you should have a plan B just in case plan A doesn't work. You're damn right you should have a plan B if this is the way you're going to deal with it. If you're not ready to go all in and micromanage it, you damn well sure better have a plan B. See, plan B is for people who don't fully believe in plan A. We talked about this already, episode number 229. Just go to DreAllDay/229 and you can listen to that episode. Plan B is only for people who do not believe in plan A. This is just the truth. Your plan A, whatever your plan A is, I'm going to give a disclaimer to this plan A thing. Okay? Because usually I hear people talking about plan Bs when someone's talking about doing something that they don't have full control over. They don't control their destiny. For example, if an athlete says, I want to go to the pro league, I want to go to the major leagues in baseball or the NFL or the NBA, someone says, well, you should have a plan B. Here's the thing about plan A's. I got to make sure I'm being clear on this. And I said this in episode number 229. If you want to hear me go more in depth on it, and you should if you didn't hear it already, and you should even if you did hear it and you don't remember what I said. Your plan A should be 100% in your power. Whatever your plan A outcome is, it needs to be 100% in your power. Now, if any part of your plan requires the cooperation of another person, now you're putting yourself in a perilous position, because what if that person does not cooperate? What if that person is just not around? What if that person is just not available to cooperate with you? Or what if they just don't want to cooperate with you? How are you going to reach your plan A? Now you put your plan A in a bad space because it's dependent on someone else. Your plan A should be 100% dependent on you. So however you need to alter that plan to make sure that it is 100% in your power, that you have control over whether you reach it or not, you do that. That may require this thing called thinking from you. You may have to put the phone down, turn the internet off, go away from your friends, go in the house, and just sit down and just think for a little while. Maybe you should make it a daily practice. That'd be a great thing. What a novel idea. I mean, if you could check Instagram every day, can you take some time to think every day? When I say time to think, I don't mean just using your brain. You're thinking right now as you're listening to me. I mean dedicated time where you just sit and think about where you are, where you're going, if there's a particular situation that you're dealing with, particular problem that you haven't got the solution to yet, instead of going to a book, instead of going to a podcast, instead of going to some person on the internet who you think may have all the answers for you, how about you look into yourself and just think, just give your mind some time to catch up. All right, you got to get off the program that you've been on of checking your profiles and being on your phone and talking to this person and that person and listening to what this guy and that guy had to say. Your brain has to get accustomed to this. It got to get conditioned for it. I mean, if you haven't been to the gym in years, you're not going to go in there and try to deadlift 300 pounds the first day and bench press 250 and do some high intensity interval training and do 50 burpees. You're not going to try to do all that on the first day and then run 5 miles on the treadmill. You're not going to try to do all that in the first day. You probably would not physically be able to do it in the first day. You got to let your body kind of catch up to the program of what's going on. So it's the same thing with thinking. If you're going to give yourself some dedicated think time, don't force it at the beginning. Just sit and be quiet for a while. Just see how long you can sit in a room by yourself without opening your phone, without getting on the internet, without talking to anybody. How long can you do that? Then try to do it without having conscious thoughts. Just try to let your thoughts go by. They call it meditation. See if you could just do that first. Then you can maybe work that in, not maybe, but definitely work that into some dedicated thinking time. That's what's going to be required of you for you to kind of work your plan to make sure it's set up that you are in 100% control of the plan, not somebody else's decision, not somebody else's cooperation or someone else's opinion. Now, that's just a side note to this point here, point number two. And now we move into point number three. And today's topic again is that you can and you must watch your pot boiling. Anything that you wish to achieve, your serious goals in life, you should be paying attention to them and micromanaging them 1,000%, not 100%, not hoping somebody else does it, not walking away from it and hope it boils by the time you come back. No, you watch it until it starts boiling. Point number three. See, this whole topic that we're talking about here today, and damn near everything we talk about on the Work On Your Game podcast, is about you taking ownership of your goals and your life. Taking ownership. Someone came to me the other day and said, Dre, when you recap the topics on your podcast, could you tell us the number of each episode where you may have referenced it before while you're saying it? I said, hell no, I'm not going to do that. If I didn't say it already, I mean, I say it multiple times every episode. I talked about this in the previous episode. Listen, I'm the one who lived the life and gathered the knowledge and codified it and went and produced this whole podcast for you to get the information. Now you want me to do even more and give you the exact number? Like, you want me to chew your food for you and spit it into your mouth and help you swallow it? Like, you can't do that part? This is about you taking complete ownership of your goals and your life. If there's a piece of information that you want and you know the information is out there, listen, that's all I need to know. I don't care if somebody had a million episodes of their podcast. If I knew that they and I thought they had the answers that could help me and I knew they gave a whole episode to something that could help me solve a challenge that I got right now, listen, I don't need to talk to that person. They ain't got to be alive. They could be dead. There's a million episodes. They exist somewhere on the internet. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna find. I'm good. I don't need to know nothing else. I don't need to ask no more questions. I don't need to talk to nobody else. I don't need to consult anyone. I don't need to write nobody a message or an email or a direct. None of that. If it exists, I'm going to go find it. You just tell me that it exists. I'm good. I got it. Call me tomorrow. I guarantee I'll tell you where it's at. I got it. That's a guarantee. Why is that? Because I'm taking ownership of the fact that, oh, this is something that I need. This is something that I want. I'm taking ownership of the fact that I'm going to go get it. I'm micromanaging the situation. I'm not hoping somebody else does it. I'm not asking somebody else to do me more of a favor when they already did a favor by putting the information out there. I mean, you didn't do nothing. All you did was sit there and listen to it. Now you want me to do even more work for you? Or do you even take yourself serious if you're asking a question like that? This is about you taking ownership of your goals and your life. This whole topic, this whole podcast, the whole show itself, not just this episode, but the whole podcast, Work On Your Game podcast. People come to me and they say something like, well, Dre, I have this goal, this outcome that I wish to achieve. And then they'll ask me, this is crazy. They'll say, what ideas do you have for me to achieve this outcome? I laugh when I read the email and then I write back to them. Sometimes I write them back. A lot of times that I don't. Listen, that's a joke. Like, I would have to judge you just as a joke of an individual if you really believe that somebody else is supposed to give you ideas for achieving your goals. That's ridiculous. Now, if you get some ideas along the way of listening to somebody else or gathering the information or just, you know, doing, just living your normal life, whatever your normal life consists of, you get some ideas. That's great. Listen, the ideas that I come up with for the episodes of this podcast don't just come out of thin air. I mean, I talk to people. People ask me questions. I read things. I write things. I listen to things. I watch things. I get ideas from having conversations, from going and looking for information that can help me be a better person. Somebody may say something offhand. It's not even the topic of their conversation, but it sparks something in me. And that, then I flesh it out and it becomes a brand new episode of this podcast. Combined from number one, what I observe or hear or something that somebody asked me, then with my own life experience, and then with my own thinking and knowledge and intelligence, all of that, and what comes out is a brand new piece of, I guess we call it content, but brand new piece of value, I guess the way we'll put it, that I can share with other people. It becomes mine because I'm mixing it up with a whole lot of me and maybe a little piece of what I got from somebody else, maybe a lot of what I got from somebody else. I've done episodes where I talk about other people's books because I want you to get that information. I'm not saying the first or the last word. I'm saying the first word on a lot of stuff. I'm not saying the last word on anything that I'm saying here. Maybe my son or my daughter will pick up this podcast after me, but that's a long way away because I'm not even expecting. But I'm saying all that to say this. You got to take ownership of your outcomes, whatever that happens to be, meaning watching your pot boil. You should be micromanaging your goals. Whatever your goal is, you should be micromanaging. If you had a boss who was micromanaging you at work, what would that mean? What would that look like? Just think about that. If you had a boss who was micromanaging you, and if you're listening to this, you probably had a job before. I don't care if you were working a lemonade stand, delivering newspapers, or you're working at a Fortune 500 company in a high-pressure environment. You've had a job before. What would it look like if your boss was really micromanaging you? But when you first, they would be standing there with a stopwatch when you walked into work to make sure you were on time. They would check how much time you waste in the coffee room or talking to employees or on a cigarette break before you actually start working. They would make sure that you actually only took an hour or a half hour for lunch when it was time for you to go to lunch. They would check on what kind of food you were eating. They would, if they could, dig into your head to figure out what kind of thoughts you were thinking about them. They would make sure that you were answering the phone in a professional manner and writing back to replying to emails in a timely fashion. They would have you give them a report at the end of the day, every single day, on every single action that you took, every single thing that you did, and how that's helping the company reach its objectives. And you, knowing that that was going to happen, knowing that you were being micromanaged in such a way, you would make sure you were so on point that everything that you had to tell to that boss made you look really good, because you definitely were doing these things. It's not just making you look good, but you were actually doing them because your boss is looking over your shoulder the whole time you're working. So you can't lie about it. So not only are they watching you do everything, they're still going to ask you to give them a report. And you're like, wait a minute, weren't you just watching me do everything? I still got to give you a report? Yes. You know why? Why? Because you're being micromanaged. That's the way your boss will micromanage you if you were working somewhere with an unbelievably, I don't even know what word to call that. Just a boss that's just so anal and just over top of everybody that people probably end up quitting that job and just getting stressed out, nervous breakdowns because of how much of a micromanager that boss is. I wouldn't suggest you go try to find that job or become that boss if you're the boss wherever you are. But I would suggest when it comes to you and your goals, every organization must have a boss. You need to be that micromanager. You understand what I'm saying here? If you don't have ideas on how to make your own pot boil, you better either A, be ready to go on a very long fast, or B, figure out how to make that pot boil. Go find the information. Go try 100, write down 100 different ideas that you can come up with to how to make that pot boil, and then try each of those 100. Eventually, you're going to stumble onto something. Out of doing those 100 ideas, you're going to stumble onto something that may lead to something that may lead to something. Now, how many times did Thomas Edison try to perfect the light bulb? I believe it was over 1,000 times he tried to create the incandescent light bulb before he figured it out. How many times have you tried to achieve your outcome? How many different ways have you tried? How many different ideas do you have? Maybe if you didn't even execute on them yet, how many ideas do you have written down for you to achieve the outcome that you want to achieve? How many ideas you got? How many different ideas do you think? I mean, what number episode is this of the Work on Your Game podcast you're listening to right now? How many different ideas do you think I have to write down to produce this podcast every single day and the points that I'm sharing in this podcast every single day for the last 2 years? What about the videos that I did on YouTube and the live streams that I do, or something I post on Twitter or something I write on Instagram? How many different ideas that I had to come up with to put that stuff out there? Because the outcome is I want to put this stuff out there so people understand what I'm talking about, so they can benefit from it. People are going to know who I am, know my name, and associate my brand with the value that I'm sharing. That's all part of the outcome of building my business and building my brand name. How many different ideas did I have to come up with that? You think I had to write somebody and say, hey, what ideas do you have for me? I want to build this brand called Work on Your Game. What ideas do you have for how I can do that? That just sounds fool. It sounds stupid. But I get messages like that all the time. People asking me, what ideas do I have for them? I don't have any ideas for you. Actually, I do got one idea from you. Stop asking other people for ideas for your goals and come up with some for yourself. That's where you got to put that thinking time aside. Let's recap today's topic, which is you can and you must and you will watch your pot boil. You better be a micromanager of your goals in life. Point number one, in many ways, micromanaging is a very good thing. You want to be breathing down your own neck. Because when we made a decision on a plan of action, there's nothing else to pay attention to anyway, so we better be micromanaging because there's nothing else, literally nothing else for us to be doing. Point number two, when people say a watch pot doesn't boil, they're saying that because they are afraid of going all in and betting on themselves. This is why people come up with plan Bs. Plan Bs are for those who do not fully believe in plan A. And your plan A, whatever that plan A is, this is a disclaimer, it should be 100% based on your actions, not somebody else's decisions. See episode number 229, get it right. Point number three. This is all about, this whole podcast, every episode is about you taking full ownership of your goals in your life. If you're taking full ownership of something, you better be micromanaging it because you are 100% responsible, you being the full owner, with anything that happens and everything that does not happen with it. If you are fully the owner, 100% owner of a business, you want to know everything that's going on in that business, do you not? If you are 100% owner of your goals in your life, you want to know everything that's going on. You are not only seeing it and living it, but analyzing it and asking yourself. You're critically looking at it and asking the critical questions. Hey, what is this doing for me? What is this doing for me? Why am I doing this? Why am I not doing this anymore? Hey, this was working before. Why did I stop doing it? That's the way you look at something that you were 100% owner of. Are you looking at your life that way or are you not? If you're not, you need to start micromanaging starting today. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. I got four things I'm going to give away to you for free at DreAllDay.com/game. Number one is my first book, Buy a Game. It is my early basketball story from when I first started playing up through my college years. You can get that PDF completely for free from me. Number two is How to Play as Well as You Practice. This is for athletes, entertainers, performers, salespeople, anyone who wants to make sure that your practice performance translates to the actual live performance. Number three, all you players who want to play basketball overseas, I have an exclusive video, How to Find Yourself an Agent to Help You Get Your Career Started. And number four, 101 Content Creation Ideas. For any of you who want to start a podcast, a blog, a website, write a book, be a speaker, 101 ideas for you to go put yourself out there that you will never run out of ways to come up with content. You can get all four of these free giveaways at DreAllDay.com/game. That is DreAllDay.com/GAME. You're welcome. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work on Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.